الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. On special occasions like Laylatul Qadr, 15th of Sha'ban, the day of Arafah, the beginning of a new year, we feel a greater inclination to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though it's not the beginning of a new Islamic year, Hijri year, it is the beginning of a new Gregorian calendar year, and still we feel a greater inclination to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Attendance at the masjid increases, and everybody tends to engage in more worship and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these times. They make promises to themselves to be better, as well as engaging in salah, dhikr, tilawah, etc. We must not forget that such occasions are also, through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, they are golden opportunities for us to reconcile, to rebuild our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and start a fresh chapter in our life. Actually, for these occasions to be really beneficial for us, we must reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means that we must repent, do tawbah, and distance ourselves from all the sins that we have been committing as part of our daily life, be they failure to perform the five daily prayers, be they failure to perform our daily dhikr, our daily talawah, casting evil glances at non-mahrams, gambling away, playing the national lottery, watching films, swearing, backbiting, slander, jealousy, malice, you name it, oppression, allowing months to pass without speaking to other family members, or any other minor or major sin that we are involved in, we must make a promise that from now on we will never break any of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands and we will be better as people. We then need to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help and make an effort to live up to our promise. Our aim should be that whatever it takes, we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us, and we want Him to remain pleased with us until we breathe our very last and we leave this world with the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, or the shahada upon our tongues. We also want to acquire Jannatul Firdaus, and we want to be saved from the fire of Jahannam. So a person's personal promise and resolution to live his life in accordance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and to avoid disobeying Him in any way is essential in making up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it brings great barakah into one's life. It brings success into his life, and it will begin to make him progress closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it is so significant that it can make even an ordinary day special. For example, if on a normal day, not even the day of Jumu'ah, not even the day of Laylatul Qadr, not even the day of Arafah, just an ordinary day, somebody standing in a very disgusting place, take for example a nightclub, he suddenly feels regret over his sins and he turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart turns towards Him in repentance. He leaves that place and then he makes a firm promise to himself, I will never return to that place again. I will start a good life. And from that time and that place, it becomes very blessed to that person and special for that person. Because it was that place that Allah granted him the tawfiq ilahi, the divine inspiration, the divine ability from him to remove himself from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if on the other hand, somebody is standing in Makkatul Mukarramah on Laylatul Qadr, knowing that he or she has a habit of committing adultery, zina, yet that person does not repent from it. And he has the intention that as soon as I get home, I will return to my old habits. Then neither that place or the day hold any sort of blessedness for that person. In fact, it can become a means of punishment for that person. Allah has put the thought in his heart, in front of the Ka'batul Sharif, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on such a blessed night, yet he did not get the divine ability, the tawfiq, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave his sins. How unfortunate is that person? So the personal decision that we make is vital if we want to expect real results. We must have a firm intention. So you take, for example, the person. Just take, for example, a person who has real intention and the person who doesn't have any intention at all. Take, for example, a person who wants to marry a particular woman. But the woman either refuses to marry him or the parents object to this union. But because he has resolve in his heart, he really, really wants to get married to this person. What will he do? Will he give up? No, he will not. He will wake up in the middle of the night, pray his tahajjud prayer, and he will beg and cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove all the obstacles from his path to get married. Because he has the intention to do so. But if the person, on the other hand, he has no desire to marry this woman, despite the woman even wanting to marry him, or the parents even wanting him to marry her, he will not pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not pray because he does not have an intention within his heart to make it happen. Only when somebody makes a firm promise to himself to do something, then he will take on the pain that comes with it. And then he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill his objective. Therefore, the person who is serious in becoming a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and acquiring Jannatul Firdaus, will during such blessed moments of opportunity, he will prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will earnestly beg him for forgiveness and firmly resolve not to turn towards any old habits that he had, which was taking him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Moving away from this subject, every action that brings no benefit in this world or the hereafter, in the terminology of Sharia, is called la yani, meaning futile, useless. Although la yani itself is sometimes permissible, its borders are dangerously close to impermissibility. This is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is from the excellence of an individual's Islam that he leaves la ya'ni, meaning tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, narrated by At-Tirmidhi Sharif. So the likes of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Abu Dawood As-Sajistani rahmatullahi alayhi were of the opinion that this hadith is one of those, if it is acted upon, then it makes practicing the deen very easy, and as a result, it secures success in both worlds. In this day and age, there are so many ways that a person can become involved in futile and useless actions. We wish to draw our attention to just a few, so that we can pay attention and abstain from them and protect ourselves from them in order to perfect our Islam. What is the first one? The first one is the mobile phone. The mobile phone initially was designed as a tool for only communication, calls and text messages. Now with the introduction of smartphones, they have become much more than this. Emails, social networking, instant messaging, games, and the internet can all be accessed from the convenience of a handheld device that you keep in your pocket without any wires. Through our phones, how many layani activities, how many futile activities, how many useless activities do we indulge in daily? How many calls do we actually make? How many calls do we make that are actually necessary? How many text messages, emails do we send? How many Instas do we post? How many snaps do we send that are actually beneficial? How much time do we spend on TikTok that is actually beneficial to us? How much time do we spend just in front of that screen, sending or forwarding useless media, or engaged in futile activities all day long? What is even more concerning is that these actions of ours do not remain futile for long. They lead us into haram and impermissible actions, which are more destructive than la ya'ni activities. Firstly, many of the topics addressed in our activities when interacting are mediums to impermissible actions. Like, they become a means to backbiting, slander. Secondly, these things impact the other aspects of our deen. For example, they will impact our salah. They will impact our ability to open up the Holy Quran. They will impact our ability to correctly upbring our children, and many, many other things. Remember, if due to the mobile phone or any form of la ya'ni, futile activity, our deen suffers, and it becomes an issue with our deen, then what we are doing is impermissible for us, and we will be answerable for it in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the internet. The points that we were mentioned under the mobile phone also relate to the internet, because now there is little difference between what you can do on your computer, on your laptop, and what you can do on your phone. You can do the exact same things. The only difference is that one fits in your pocket and one stays on your lap and one stays on your desk. Hence, it can also be a tool of la ya'ni. Access to information and media has become much easier with the aid of the internet, but we need to be careful not to fall into sin because of it. We need to remember that when we are reading an article or watching a useful video or listening to useful audio, we are actually in the company of that author. So if we are listening to something useless or even something sinful, we are in the company of that author. We are in the company of the speaker. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to adopt the company of the good and refrain from the company of the bad. So we should endeavor to stay within the limits set by our deen. And for our youngsters, they have always been a problem with game consoles. And it's becoming such an increasing problem. Those who grew up playing on such game consoles have now become gamers. They want to become adult gamers when they are older, simply because they watch somebody win a Fortnite tournament and they win a lot of money. So they think, you know what, I need to become a person like that. Easy money, I sit in front of a screen and I can play games and I will make money like this. Children who you're not even at the age of that game, it's a 16 plus game, it's an 18 plus game, you have 9-year-olds playing it. You have 8-year-olds playing them type of games. This is something legally they're not allowed to do, and parents should be putting a restriction upon them. This is obviously going to hamper their moral and educational progress. It is my advice that if a child is seeking knowledge, he should be kept away from the screen. If he is definitely seeking dini knowledge and Islamic knowledge, he should be kept away from the screen until as late as possible. The smartphone has become an inseparable part of our day-to-day life, my beloved brothers. From within the confines of the home to every region and sector of the outside world, people are seen immersed in their phone. Yet very few contemplate the negative effects that this small gadget is having on our life. The smartphone undoubtedly has its benefits, like efficient worldwide connection, like quick internet access, like news updates from around the world, like navigation, like easy online shopping, like bank transfers. These are all good things. However, an intelligent person does not only focus on the benefits of an item and become oblivious, completely blind to all of its harms. Therefore, it is necessary to ponder over the negative impact that the smartphone is having on our life. A few moments of contemplation will help us realize that the extent of harm this small device is actually causing us. What makes the smartphone particularly dangerous is its irresistible attraction, which disconnects us from our surroundings and prevents us from enjoying and benefiting from many worldly blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us. For example, when you take a walk outside in the park, we remain focused on our mobile phone. How many times have we failed to appreciate the beautiful scenery that is around us? When we sit to partake in a meal, we are unable to truly enjoy the food that our family members have made for us because our eyes are glued onto the smartphone during the meal. When we visit the Haramain Sharifain, how many times has it been that we are unable to enjoy the majestic view of the Kaaba because we want to take a selfie with the Kaaba? Or our soul and mind can't even be present when presenting our salam, our peace and salutations to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam when we go to visit Medina Munawwara because we want to record our whole experience. This silent addiction does not allow us to have a peaceful sleep as well. Hours are spent engrossed in the smartphone, resulting in frequent late nights. It has also become a norm to keep the smartphone by the bedside table during the night, and whenever it buzzes, to check it during the night. The subsequent lack of quality sleep has a negative impact on our health, and it reduces our productiveness during the day. This terrible addiction has also affected our social lives, my beloved brothers, and it has disconnected us from those who are important to us. A family may be seated together in the same room, yet each person will be in their own world, occupied in some form of a pastime on their phone. They fail to even acknowledge each other's presence, and they don't communicate with each other effectively, as a family should do. When the family goes on holiday with the intention of spending quality time together, they fail in this objective, because quality time is given to the phone. Inside the house, the young children, when the father returns home with much love and they hope to give their father a big hug, they run to him when he opens the door and he says, "I'm too busy, go to your mum." Then they go to their mother, who's also busy on her phone, and she says, "Go to your father, I'm also busy." When the children get fed up and they cause a nuisance or they become annoying or they become a disturbance in the house, the parents solve the problem by giving them a smartphone as well, giving them a tablet, putting them in front of the TV, switching the game console on for them. This has a detrimental effect on our spiritual, physical, and mental development. Not only ours, but theirs as well. If we are making our children grow up to be chickens, they will grow up to be sacrificed by the entire culture that is around us. The husband and wife equally, even they quarrel between each other and they reach a breakup point in their marriage, sometimes due to this smartphone, because they spend an excessive amount of time on it, and sometimes even cheating on a person's partner whilst on it. This results in rights being violated, hearts being broken, and families being torn apart. Guests who come to our house, who we are commanded to honor them, they're left neglected because frequent attention to the smartphone whilst in front of them makes them feel unwanted, unappreciated, and dishonored. Along with the many worldly and social harms, my beloved brothers and listeners, there are many spiritual harms of the smartphone as well. It has proven to have a negative impact on a very important characteristic of a mu'min, of a believer, and that is trustworthiness in fulfilling responsibilities. Those of us who have an average 9-to-5 job and we're required to work for the duration of that full time of their contracted hours, yet they do not engage in that work properly. This is because the employer who's paying us has essentially bought our time during that time. Hence, doing anything else in that time besides fulfilling the task set by the company would be a breach of trust and tantamount to stealing from them. Unfortunately, many people during their contracted hours will scroll through their messages, scroll through social media, or keep up to date with the latest news and fall short in delivering the best of their duty. This is deemed as completely normal nowadays. Somebody was to bring this up, they will say, what is wrong with it? Another great spiritual harm of the smartphone is the unprecedented level of futile activities that we engage in. This leaves us with no time for ibadah, and it has an effect on our spirituality. Very few people can claim that they have never engaged in some sort or some form of futile activity on the phone. There was a pious person. He had a connection to a spiritual sheikh of tasawwuf, and once he informed his sheikh, for 2 or 3 months, I've been missing my daily tilawa, and I've been missing my daily adhkar. So the sheikh asked him, ponder over the reason on why you are missing. And immediately he says, I already know the reason why I'm missing. It's my phone. When I first bought it, I used it very carefully. But one day somebody sent me a video clip of a debate, of a munadhara, and I liked it. It was an Islamic debate. And I liked it, and I started watching other debates on YouTube, which led me into a spiral of pointlessly watching videos and wasting hours of my time. He would spend so much time on YouTube that he didn't have time for anything else, not his daily tilawa, not his daily adhkar that was prescribed to him by his sheikh. The sheikh then said to him, you know the problem and you know the solution, then there is no need to ask me for any guidance. So he got rid of the smartphone, and once again he became punctual with all of his daily practices. And an even greater harm of the smartphone is that it ultimately leads a person into sin. Safeguarding the eyes and the ears becomes very, very difficult when one person has a phone in their hand. They don't always have control over what happens on the screen. If an obscene or a disgusting image happens to pop up on the screen, many people do not have the spiritual strength to look away, to resist. But then they end up taking pleasure from it. When this happens repeatedly, the nafs then searches for it, and it falls prey to many different forms of indecent and shameful activities available on the smartphone. This results in a person searching, actually going out and searching on his phone for disgusting things. This results in sins like masturbation. This results in sins like looking at obscene material, naked women, searching for pornography, developing illicit relationships with non-mahram women, and it eventually leads to zina. How many of you go through your children's phones? Are they not clever enough to delete their history or to install apps that don't allow you to know what they are doing? The digital footprint on a mobile phone remains forever. It does never disappears. If anybody really wanted to, they can find out what you have been up to on your mobile phone. Doesn't matter how much history you delete, doesn't matter how many factory resets you do, there is something that always remains in the phone that can be found. My beloved brothers, we must know that with our digital footprint on the phone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever aware of what we are doing on this phone. The same smartphone which is used to commit sins is then used to publicize the sin. Youngsters will shamelessly boast of their sins to their friends on their social media platform. This decreases their chances of being forgiven, as keeping it hidden, maybe one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his tawfiq, would grant that person the ability to repent and turn back to him. But openly boasting about it, posting on your stories, could be more detrimental than the actual sin itself. Because you're openly challenging Allah, you're openly disobeying Allah without a care in the world. It seems like we're making a mockery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands to stay away from sin. Even we go as far as taking that sin lightly, like a fly that comes in front of our nose and we move it away and we brush it away. This is the type of attitude and behavior that we have, and it is extremely dangerous, my beloved brothers. If one claims that the smartphone has not affected their spirituality because it has not led them to any sin, then they will still not be able to deny that in some way or another it has affected the sincerity in their worship and good deeds. So my beloved brothers, what we need to do is take great care when using this mobile phone. Some things that we can do is, firstly, stipulate certain hours of the day when the smartphone will be used. For example, we will not use it from 10 p.m. until Fajr prayer. We won't use it. Whenever we sit to eat, whenever we are at work or in a class, whenever we're in the masjid, during these times, we will not look at it even. Secondly, what we can do is set time limits for the tasks that genuinely need to be carried out on the phone. For example, 20 minutes to check the news, 30 minutes to check and reply to important messages, for example, and you set an alarm for yourself. The moment your time is up, you stop using it. Thirdly, apps are now available which disable us from using social media or YouTube beyond a set amount of minutes per day. The moment that you've reached that amount of minutes, the app will shut off. You might have to pay a small subscription fee, but it is worth it. Finally, only use the smartphone when there is an actual genuine need. This will save us from engaging in anything that will lead to futile activity or the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should avoid using the smartphone in private. We should use it in open areas in the home, such as the living room, where family members are continuously passing by. This will save us from looking at shameful and indecent and immoral things on the phone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to recognize what is good for us and recognize what is bad for us, and save us from the tools of la yani, to save us from the tools of sin. May Allah grant us the courage and the tawfiq to get rid and to limit the use of the smartphone. And if it is absolutely necessary, then may He grant us the ability to keep it under control and not let the phone control us. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah. Can we make a request to everybody, please? If you can please stand up before the adhan takes place. Just move forward, brothers. If you see a place in front of you, please fill it. If you are sitting next to somebody and there is a small gap, please sit closer to that person so a space can open up and the people from behind can move in. Jazakumullahu khaira. It's the last day of the holiday, so we do expect a lot more people attending. Jazakumullahu.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Hayya 'ala shalah. Hayya 'ala shalah. Hayya 'ala falah. Hayya 'ala falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله علي الذات عظيم الصفات سمي السمات كبير الشان جليل القدر رفيع الذكر مطاع الأمر جلي البرهان فخيم الاسم غزير العلم وسيع الحلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعود بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالصدق فإن الصدق ينجي والكذب يهلك وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين ولا تقنطوا من رحمة الله فإنه أرحم الراحمين ولا تحبوا الدنيا فتكونوا من الخاسرين ألا وإن نفسا لن تموت حتى تستكمل رزقها فاتقوا الله واجملوا في الطلب وتوكلوا عليه فإن الله يحب المتوكلين وادعوه فإن ربكم مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، الذي أرسل بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اللهم انصر واغفر وارحم واهدي لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين والمجاهدين في كل مكان. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأكبر. والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة. Brothers are once again requested to please move forward, fill the gaps, and stand close together.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. هيا للصلاة هيا للفلا قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده. الله الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله الله أكبر. الله الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
For those parents that have children within the madrasa, inshallah, this following Monday, madrasa will be reopening from the normal time, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Those parents that have children within the Saturday class, inshallah, next Saturday will be the beginning of the Saturday class. And those parents that have brought their children with them to participate in the Hifz challenge are requested to stay upstairs in the prayer hall. Inshallah, they will be called one by one into the library when it is their turn to read, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا رب.